Welcome to the Dope CFO Podcast, where you can find the best information for accountants and bookkeepers that want to start and grow a highly profitable and flexible remote cannabis accounting firm with your host, Andrew Hunziker. Now that's dope.
Hey, everybody. This is Andrew Hunziker, CPA, also CFO, founder of Dope CFO as well. About my background, I've been a CPA for over 25 years, was at a big four, including PricewaterhouseCoopers. I won the gold medal award for the highest score in the CPA exam, as well as was runner-up for the Portland, Oregon Business Journal CFO of Year Award in 2017, and I was the first ever cannabis CFO to be nominated. Done lots of startup work as well. And love teaching all of our community. We have now over 500 people in all 50 states in our Dope CFO program.
All righty. Hello, everybody. Thank you for checking out our webinar. See mostly new faces here. One or two are in our program already. If you're already in our program, this will be review. And then at the end, last 10 minutes or so, we'll look at the Dope CFO program in case you're interested in joining. But we got a whole bunch of slides about inventory. I try to keep these under an hour because I know you're busy and a lot of you have calls coming up. So I will just not waste time. And feel free to type into chat. We're going to cover a lot of things, mostly inventory issues in the verticals, and also how this is the key to making sure our clients aren't paying too much tax as well. Still today, most of the industry, really, really poor accounting, just basic accounting 101. Forget about cost accounting or advanced accounting. They're just doing crappy day-to-day accounting. So let's jump into that. I'm not going to spend much time on me. You can find me pretty much anywhere. Social media, I'm at DopeCFO1. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I post lots of stuff over there. We do Facebook Lives every week, do webinars. I teach for the AICPA Cannabis Conference coming up in August. If you want to attend that in Boston, it's going to be super fun. I'll be speaking of that as well. And all about. So I just did it actually in the last 2 weeks. I did an article and a podcast with Journal of Accountancy as well. Also wrote for Minnesota and Virginia recently. Let's look at the industry and jump in. The industry is growing really quickly. So I love to look at this kind of 2022 bar. About $10 billion, which is still pretty tiny. Many people estimate the California market, if you include legal and illegal, at $100 billion. And that's been around for quite some time, and that's just one state. So you think about how far this has to grow. So at the end of 2022, we're basically at year 10 from where Colorado came in and got the state ball rolling. And we've grown massively in 10 years. And it's a huge market, and we're getting much bigger than that already. But what's interesting to me, the growth has been massive the last 10 years. But the growth the next seven is expected to be if you just take the 2022 bar and you look at the 2030 bar, it's about 3x. And that doesn't even include if we get full legalization, which is highly probable in the next 7 years. Look at this over here, 2023, just the number of companies, 170,000 companies. And again, I would easily estimate 150 of those thousand companies are doing accounting completely wrong. You can't start a manufacturer, a farm, a processing plant, a dispensary chain without millions and millions of dollars, even if you're mom and pop. So these are good clients. These aren't hair salons or whatever. And so again, very good outlook. And by the way, the IRS is coming in a big, big way. They already are doing this now. They get from my connections, $4 on every cannabis audit versus $1 on a non-cannabis audit. And so that means if you're sitting there at the IRS, what are you going to do? You're going to audit every single cannabis company. And so they're coming. And so we warn our clients and prospects, better be doing things right. They're not going to be happy with you if you're not. And they're basically winning every single case over the last several years. And so you don't want your clients to be on that side. Not only is the industry growing, but most cannabis companies are growing rapidly as well. We've been in a little mini downturn in 2022 as far as capital coming into the space. That slowed down a little bit, even though state expansion continued. So the market got bigger, but capital cut back, not just on cannabis, crypto, high tech. Are we in a recession? Probably. So lots of contraction, but that said, this industry is recession proof and COVID proof, growing rapidly. But our clients are going to grow. They go from one dispensary to two, then five, then they'll move out of state. I've seen this over and over again. They've got compliance to deal with, financial and IRS audits, exits, and many other issues as well. Let's just talk about the verticals a second, because some people say, oh, what's so different about this niche? And I say, my very first answer is, oh, it's not a niche. It's an industry. So what are the niches in this massive new industry that we're being a part of, the birth of this industry? Cultivation and farming, totally specialized accounting, chemical processing plants that take the flower, turn it into oil. Then from the oil, product manufacturers, that could be hundreds of different products. Just in the food category, you could make literally 100 different products in foods or beverages or tinctures or lotions or many other things. We have distribution companies, we have testing labs, we have retail and dispensaries, delivery companies and ancillary things like lighting companies or soil companies. It's a massive, massive industry, and it's only getting bigger. Nothing will stop this industry at this point if you have not already figured that out. 8 out of 10 Americans want access to legal cannabis because they get it, that it's real medicine. The science backs us up now. And when 8 out of 10 of us want something, it will happen. And that's why we've seen this explosion across the U.S. There's many difficulties for us as a CFO. You could just summarize the complexity. Many vendors still won't serve the industry. So that makes things difficult. We've got lots of verticals with different accounting in each, and you might have all those verticals in one company. Lack of accounting tools and work papers, industry guides, gap guidance. You know, they're the big four still not here. We're still not getting those great industry guides and people trained in public accounting. Cleanup is a given. We've got to deal with state seed to sale software, which is horrible. And none of us have ever used, if you haven't been in this industry, Metric, MJ, Freeway, and BioTrack are the big three. Other software solutions like POS is a great example. There's hundreds of them. They're challenging to use. They'll be different at every client. It's not one solution. Like in the non-cannabis retail world, you'll find QBO POS 9 times out of 10. In the cannabis world, you will not find QBO POS, but you'll find 100 other ones. We'll have many times in our reporting for one client, we might have 2 consolidations, 3 business combinations, and then we've also got standalones as well. Make sure you're pricing that in. Lots of attorneys are out there pitching to these clients, hey, you need several legal entities and complex structures to minimize tax. Not really the best advice, but they're doing it anyway. And I let clients know, that's fine if you have 1 dispensary and 9 legal entities. I'm going to charge you a lot of money to do the accounting and tax. Big need for controls, governance, reporting. Again, really weak in this industry as well, and lots of startup support. You're going to see everything east of Colorado, massive startup growth the next 5 years. Many of these companies funded $5 to $10 million day one. They need to be thinking about their financial models, their pitch decks, their cap tables. Also, what kind of controls and compliance they're going to have as well. I actually posted this poll in our group of 500 cannabis accountants, CPAs, enrolled agents. And I just said, because I've been my experience over the last 10 years in cannabis and all the different people I know and all the hundreds of accountants I talk to every month on the phone and then the 500 in our group, I just see almost never do we find companies between 1 and 20 million of revenue where the books are not just an absolute wreck. And I was like, how many of you have ever actually found a client that's in that size range that's actually doing things close to right? And even these Facebook tracks these wrong. if you look at these boxes that say 1% and 2%, the 1% was zero votes and the 2% was one vote. So out of all the votes I got, 46 votes, there was only one vote that topped 1%. So basically 99% of the what we're seeing at established clients is a mess. So that's good and bad. It's bad on a lot of work to clean it up. It's good because we can make a lot of profit on these companies, and that's what we're going to do. If they're going to run their company poorly and they want us to fix it, I'm fine to fix things. But just like if you have a Lamborghini and want to get it fixed, they're going to charge you money. We're the same way as well. Let's look at some of the investor concerns, and we'll then that this will tie into inventory as well. They weren't so focused early on good accounting and transparency. They now realize this is the key to actually getting a proper tax return done. And so they're much more cautious. They want better teams, better records, better governance. They're just much more demanding. And then when we get into tight capital markets like we are now, it can get darn right tough. It's definitely not like 5 years ago when anyone could show up and say, hey, I'm a 25-year-old grower. I need $10 million. Never run a company before, but I know how to grow weed. That would fund companies early on, but no more, which is good for us as well. Also different, they're looking at entity structures, C-corp structures, not always, but often will make great sense. We have other webinars on entity structures as well. Very complicated. Don't just assume the attorney's right. I mean, I'm not going to give legal advice, but if I see something that I think is wrong, I'm going to make sure my clients go to a reputable cannabis attorney. Valuations are also key. If you have a client that's going out to raising capital, make sure they've got a great team. They're going to need a qualified CFO on the team, not just to help them build the model and deck, but to go communicate with those investors on their roadshow. Well thought out capital and entity plan, what funding structures used, what are the goals of the different investors and founders. Make sure the pitch deck has everything in it. Most decks I see have way, way, way too much about how great their product is. 10, 20, 30 slides on, I grow the best pot, or I have the most beautiful dispensary, or I'm going to make the best gummy bear or the best beverage. We need one page on that because everyone says that. Everyone says they're the best. So we don't need to waste our time telling the investors too much about that. Let's focus on the other things that they actually want to know. Same with the financial model. It better be complete. It better be perfect. It better have what-if scenarios from best case to worst case. And also access to investors. You need to get in front of the right people if you want any chance at raising money. Okay, here we are 10 minutes in to inventory. And one more entity slide, and then I promise we're going to go inventory. This, I just put this in again because this comes up so much at our clients. What's the best entity structure? The only correct answer that you should ever come out of your mouth or any other CPA is it depends. There are so many factors. What state are you in? How many founders, how many investors, our lenders? What's the profile, the tax profile, and the financial profile of every single investor and founder? You may have wildly different goals. You might have a billionaire investor that is only focused on asset protection and not getting into litigation. And you might have founders that have totally different goals. So we got to watch out for that. Can they fund the tax bills? Minority interest in partnerships and LLCs is a key issue. Do the partners understand if they have no voting rights, no distribution rights, they better have deep pockets to fund tax bills as well. So we're going to look at the structure. If we feel like they're just throwing up 6-7 legal entities to beat 280, we're going to say that's a bad idea. Better idea is to actually do inventory cost accounting correctly, and we can correctly minimize tax. We've hit some of these already. So I'm actually going to just skip that slide. Let's talk about the first thing on the inventory software. So every state as seed to sale software at this point. I believe one state didn't, but I think they all have it now. And so basically this is the state's way of saying, okay, we're going to legalize cannabis, but we want to make darn sure none of the product is diverted as it moves through the different verticals. None of it is diverted into the illegal markets. We're going to keep a very close track, including cameras, usually on every single property where the state, you know, licensing board can peek into your farm. They can drive out to your farm or your dispensary anytime they want. They can do sting operations. They are going to be watching. And not only that, they want the client out on the farm or the dispensary to update the seed to sale system every day. The answer is not, I'll tell you already what the answer is not, syncing your, say, QuickBooks or POS system to the seed to sale software. That has resulted in even worse nightmares more often than not, because those seed to sale systems get out of whack continuously. And the last thing I want to do is sync it up with a system that I control and then mess that up too. But we're going to follow that through all the stages of grow, harvest, dry, cure, trim. It goes to the lab, it comes back, it's ready for sale. Then it goes to the processing plant. Then it goes to the manufacturing plant. Then it goes to the distributor. Finally gets to the retailer, then the delivery company, then the customer. And the state wants to track it every piece of the way. We got to learn how to use this software and understand all the weaknesses in it as well. Same on the inventory software. If you have a dispensary or a retailer, they're going to need a POS system to track thousands of SKUs. You do not want to do that in QBO or Xero or Accounting Suite or whatever the accounting software is. ERP systems for manufacturers are very expensive, new, clunky, buggy. Training is intensive. Nobody knows how to use any of them. So if you have Sally working for you and you fire and hire Joe in accounting and Sally doesn't know how to use whatever, BioTrack, you got a lot of training. It's really a big headache. So be careful on the ERP systems as well. On the inventory side, it's small, expensive, subject to theft or diversion. You know, you can have a bottle of tincture cost $150 or whatever. People can shove things in their pocket. So we've done webinars on cash management at the dispensary and same at the farm or elsewhere. We've got to have good controls in place to make sure people are not swiping this stuff. We know that opportunity triangle. If employees have the opportunity and something's valuable, that people will steal. Not everybody, but plenty will. So we got to be careful about that as well. We got to be careful on the seed to sale system, since it has to be updated constantly with the people out on the farm, for example, planting plants. These are not accountants. They might punch in with dirt all over their hands, two plants when they meant 20 or 200 when they meant two. So we've got to constantly be doing counts, cycle counts at dispensaries, full counts every month at the farm and plants, manufacturers, so we can tie those numbers back to the seed to sale, to the POS, and make sure that we're correcting them as well. Cost accounting is required as well. How much does it cost to grow a pound of weed? We'll look at that as well. And then segregation issues. We don't want, this is just basic controls, we don't want someone who's inputting into metric or the seed to sale ever touching the accounting system. We find that all the time is going on, and it makes sure the books are a mess as well. We want to have inventory SOPs. We're, of course, going to have accounting policy and procedure manual that will include all of our corporate governance and internal controls, including inventory controls. We're going to do full counts, again, cycle counts at dispensaries, and we're going to tie those out, investigate errors, and then over time, as we get better at this, we will we'll find hopefully fewer errors. And again, we're going to tie them out to seed to sale, POS, and the POS, then we will tie it to our accounting system every month. And we're also going to, if we're at the farm or manufacturer, being doing cost accounting to make sure we're tracking raw materials, WIP, and finished goods correctly. Okay, let's do a quick look at the tax code. Again, many of these topics we've hit, whether it's entity structures, cash, tax codes. We have full webinars on all those topics alone. So I'll hit this very quickly. 280E is the key tax code. It's only one sentence. Hopefully you've already read it while I've been talking. But no deductions or credits are allowed for these cannabis businesses. And by the way, the word trade or business is used for a reason. It does not say no deduction in your 14 entity complex legal structure. It says if you're trade or business, they don't care if you have zero entities or 2,000. If they look at your company from 10,000 feet and they look down there and they're like, looks like a farm to us. I don't care how many entities you got. You all are subject to 280E. Be really careful. Harborside lost a lot of money on this. So the good news for us as accountants and clients, inventory. It's not a deduction. It's not a credit. That's good news. It's a return of capital. I see all the time in my program and elsewhere, people saying, what's deductible at the farm? What can I put in cost of goods sold? Which deductions? First off, the answer to deductions is none, zero. And whenever anyone asks me what I can put in cost of goods sold, whether it's in cannabis or non-cannabis, that's accounting, first grade accounting. We don't ever put anything in cost of goods sold except inventory. That's the only thing that goes into cost of goods sold. We have balances inventory. When it's sold, it becomes cost of goods sold. We will never, ever put anything else there. So the real question becomes, what can we put in inventory? We want to maximize the amount of value we can put in inventory, because the more that goes in inventory, the more that's going to go into cost of goods sold when it's sold, meaning a lower tax bill for our client done correctly. 471, you can go read this on the internet. I encourage you to do it. It takes like 30 minutes to read it from top to bottom. 471.3 will be dispensaries. There's very little wiggle room for dispensaries. Again, we see this all the time where people are trying to plug rent and utilities into their inventory. They are going to lose that battle every time. Inventory, 471.3, it's very simple. It's like, whatever you paid for the product, if you paid $100 for that box of gummy bears and you sold it for $200, your cost of goods sold is $100. Transportation will often be negligible or nothing. Oftentimes they'll bring it to the dispensary because they want to sell it to you. Very doubtful that they're going to actually, I'm just reading this now, ignore that. This is an old slide. You cannot create a pre-roll from raw flower and call that manufacturing. So do not do that. The in Harborside, they said, look, we want to see the actual substance change of a product. So if you take flower and turn it into a gummy bear, that's manufacturing. If you take flower and just rolled into a joint, you don't really change the product. So don't do that. So that's very rare that a dispensary is going to be able to do any cost accounting. And so that's the hard part. That's why many dispensaries end up opening up a farm or processing plant. One, they can make more money to be vertically integrated, but two, there's way more cost we can put into those categories. I think we're going to look at these categories. Okay, so if you're a farm, a processing plant, a manufacturer, which is a big part of the industry, let's take a note here. You got to put a lot under 471-11 in inventory. First and foremost, 100% of direct materials and labors, soil, you got 10 people out there just digging and planting, all of their labor cost is going into those plants. And by the way, the raw material is either going to be a seed or a clone. There will be pretty small value, generally speaking, in those that category. Where we'll put big dollars out on the farm is in the growing plants. It may take from the day they plant a seed to where it's shipped off to the retailer. That may be 180 days. And over that 180 days, we're going to be sticking in a lot of cost into that inventory. But once we do direct materials and labor every month, we're also going to be allocating indirect production costs. Those are costs that are incident to and necessary. So you have to maybe use judgment as an accountant. But they also give us a lot of hints here as well. But is it really necessary? for the production. So they're going to three different categories listed in 47111. And by the way, the good news for us accountants that want to land good clients, if we know how to do gap level cost accounting, that's going to set us up perfectly for the IRS tax code. So gap level cost accounting does a couple of things. First and foremost, it's the best way to run your farm in any state, all 50 states. We want to have good gap cost accounting so we can know our profit margins. We can raise capital easier. We can do exits easier. We can run the company better. And oh, by the way, if we're doing gap level cost accounting, we're set up perfectly for the federal tax return. Again, applies for all 50 states. Right here, it tells you, here's things you can add to inventory as if you have a good allocation method: repairs, maintenance, utilities, that can be huge. Rent, these are big costs. We want to make sure. Category two, they tell you clearly, do not put this stuff into inventory. I've seen this many times where people try to do it anyway. Marketing, advertising, selling, distribution, percentage depletion. We don't do that. Accelerated depreciation, don't do it. This is the good news, though. For again, I've never in 7 years from me or my group ever found a client, farmer manufacturer, that was doing this right. And so every single time I meet a farmer at an event or a manufacturer, I can say, look, I just tell them flat out, because I know what the answer is. You're not doing cost accounting. That means you're overpaying taxes, and that perks their ears up. If you're not doing this correctly, and then I can say, I can show you. I will show you right here in the tax code where if you do this, you're gonna get more cost in inventory and lower tax bill. Because it says right here in 47111 that if we're doing gap level cost accounting in our recurring books, we're going to give you even more costs that you can put into inventory, which is great news. But it says right in there, I've had people say, where does it say generally accepted accounting principles? Right there in red. It's in the tax code. Go Google it. What are these costs that I can give the farmer if they're my client because I'm doing gap level cost accounting? Well, these are pretty big ones. Taxes, depreciation can be humongous on the farm, employee benefits, strikes, rework, labor, scrap, and spoilage can actually be pretty big. Factory admin, officer salaries, insurance, these are not small costs. And so I tell the client, look, you want to do it right? You want to have a better company? You want to lower your tax bill the actually correct way? Why don't you hire us? And we go from there. So anyway, that's kind of a backdrop why we want to do cost accounting. And now let's dig in a little more into how we actually do this, at least in our program as well. So looking at kind of the cannabis industry, some of these questions, how much does it cost to grow a pound of cannabis? I've had a farmer tell me it's free. He just planted a seed in his backyard and watered it and or even not watered it. I get a lot of rain. The plant grew up. I got my pound of weed. It's free. You could argue that one, but I'll show you how it's not free. We're at most farms we're dealing with that are growing, you know, many square footage of plants. We're dealing with a lot of cost on that farm, including the rent. You live there on the farm, you're still paying rent. How much does it cost to make a gram of CBD oil? What's a bill of materials? What are the components of a gummy bear? Things like this, we got to ask these questions as well. Do we need cost accounting for retail? Short answer is no, 99% of the time. We're going to look at fixed versus variable cost. That's going to be important because how do we allocate a fixed versus a variable cost? So fixed, like rent. So when I allocate rent every month out on the farm to the inventory, I'm going to be looking at, okay, what is the size of the square footage of the farm? Okay, you've got 10 barns and they're all 1,000 square feet. And what's the appropriate amount of rent that we can allocate based on that? So if I look at the square footage and 80% is really related to the grow and 20% is just overhead or living or whatever, or office space, 80% of costs like rent, utilities, I can use that 80% number as long as it makes sense and we've got data supporting that. And then things like Sally comes in 3 days a week to water the plants, 4 hours a day or whatever, we're going to track that cost based on the time spent. So then we can allocate that as well. So we're going to look at each one of these separately. And then when we build out our WIP inventory and also our finished goods to allocate, we're going to every month go in and look at all these different costs: direct labor, direct materials, indirect labor, rent, utilities, security, maintenance, small tools, and even those other costs under little level I. So there's probably about 20, 30 things on the trial balance that we're going to try to look at. And each one of those costs we'll be allocating probably a different way than the other one. So we got to have a pretty good system to do this as well. We also need to gather non-financial information every reporting period. First and foremost, inventory counts. And don't let your client say, oh yeah, we track inventory and metric. And then you say, I need the inventory count. And they print out metric list of their inventory. I said, that's not a count. That's a printout of a report of a system. So if metric prints out 1,000 plants, and then I just get my own person to go count them and I only count 950, 50 plants have gone. The correct answer is what is counted. So we want to see evidence. If they say, okay, Joe and Sally work out on the farm, I'm like, great, have them go count them. I love handwritten on a piece of paper. I counted barn one, 23 plants, barn two, 45, sign my name, scan it, give it to Andrew. Okay, I've got real counts. That's going to help you when the IRS shows up. If they see you have not done good documented counts, it's really going to, it's going to bite you in a big way. We need to know full cycle time for each growth cycle for every strain. It's different at every single farm. There is no answer. Some farms have 180 day cycle, some full cycle. Some clients have 60 day cycle. We need to be able to know every strain cycle for every farm. We need to know percent complete for every single plant and every strain at every reporting date. Using that information as well as yield per strain. Some strains may yield a pound, some half a pound. We're going to use that to get our equivalent units to do all of our cost accounting. We need tools and systems to do this stuff every month. You're not going to find it in QuickBooks or your software. And then we're going to use those numbers to allocate costs into the different trial balance categories. Between, we're going to take all these different trial balance counts, we're going to use all these non-financial data to come up with percentages, and then costs are going to flow three places at the end of all that. Out of those 20 trial balance accounts into WIP, finished goods, and cost of goods sold, and they're not all flowing out. So for example, rent, we might take rent's $1,000 this month, but we're going to put part of it in WIP, part of it in finished goods, part of it in cost of goods sold, and the remaining amount stays in rent. So it gets pretty complicated pretty quickly. We want to be doing it right, and we want to still be able to track the core accounts in their full 100% as well, not so we don't confuse our farmer. So if I show the financials to the farmer and rent was $1,000 a month, and we're up month one, and it shows rent at $282, they're like, what the heck's up with that? Rent is $1,000. So we have a way where we can report that correctly. Here's an example of flower calendar. We're going to do this. This is one of our tools we use, but again, just to track those equivalent units by strain. And this is just a snippet. This is a much bigger Excel file. Oh, I see a question. Is packaging on shelf by distribution? So again, nothing is cost of goods sold except inventory. So the question is, can we put packaging cost into inventory? So if it's part of the inventory cost, yeah, I think you can. So if I'm over there at the manufacturer and I made a gummy bear, and then part of the bill of materials we'll see is the package. Now, if the distributor takes normally the product's already going to be packaged before the distributor, but design costs and packaging, as far as logo and whatnot, can you allocate that over the cost of the package? Probably. But that's going to be more of a one-time cost allocated over. But whatever that packaging cost is, all in, that's part of the finished product as well. And we're actually going to look at this here as well in a minute with cost accounting. And here's another interesting thing. Since we have different verticals, so finished goods over at the farm, including all the allocated costs, and this can, by the way, oftentimes be the same company. we got finished goods, it's flour. Now we transferred over here to a processing plant, either our sister company or a brand new company, that's going to be raw material. And so we're like, oh, we've got same product, but just different classification. And then we're going to take that flour, turn it into oil, but we're going to have the same cost accounting steps and processes where we got to look at direct materials, direct labor, allocated indirect costs, all those categories, one and three things, and then allocating that at the oil side between WIP, finished goods, and cost of goods sold as well. Here's an example. So as we get into processors and manufacturers, we get bill of materials. And so you're going to have, so far, all we've been talking about is kind of the core product, the plant on the farm or the oil at the processor. That's just one component of, say, a gummy bear. And so if we're making a box of gummy bears, maybe there's 1 gram of THC oil that's going to be costed based on our cost accounting tools and systems. Then we're going to add in other raw materials like sugar or other things. What's that cost? Then we look at box and labels. Then we have assembly cost and then all of our allocated overhead. So again, we've got, and say we're a manufacturer and we make gummy bears and lollipops and 50 other products. And oh, by the way, even just the gummy bear product, you could have 20 different strains. Like you could have gummy bears that are super strong, gummy bears that are weak, gummy bears that are sativa or indica. And so you could have orange gummy bears and red gummy bears and boxes of 8 or boxes of 10. So you could have thousands and thousands of SKUs very quickly. You're going to need some kind of inventory software at that point at the manufacturing client. Usually it'll be something like Fishbowl, or there are solutions at clients, but it gets complex tracking that as well. But we're still going to be doing our cost accounting and processes as well. Let's look at retailers as well. Let me see if I'm tracking on time here. Halfway through, I better speed up. So retailers, you can't do cost accounting, Sea Harbor side, generally speaking, 99% of the time. So we're just going to get the cost. If I buy again the box of gummy bears for 10 bucks, that's the cost when we sell it. We are going to, what was the other thing I was going to say on the retailer side? The software, they'll use a POS system as well. Let me see. So we will different software at different verticals, mainly POS and manufacturing at those two verticals, as well. And then your clients may have other software, CRMs and things that they're tracking on their own. And sometimes we'll use reports out of that stuff as well. Let's look at startups as well, because this is going to be crucial as well. You're going to be dealing with lots of startups. So when you go in to do the startups, their inventory is going to be a huge piece of this. So make sure you have a really good PBC list, including all the legal docs, and that you get the things you need before you jump in and start doing accounting. Insurance policies, organization documents, leases, equity agreements, stock option plans. Let's get all the stuff we need before we jump in and start. Do they have any SOPs or governance? Let's start doing that as well. Let's do our walkthroughs so we make sure we know what's going on at the farm before we jump in and do accounting. We build a perpetual data room in our Dope CFO system and set up our correct chart of accounts. We have our own tailored version. We'll talk about our program at the end of this as well. We want to make sure they have good projections and that they're not just saying they're going to grow a ton of pot. We saw a presentation earlier today where a vendor was showing how much a farmer can make with their proprietary grow system from A to Z. And they were showing revenues and how profitable their equipment was. And I asked them, I was like, what price per pound are you using in your revenue number to build this ROI and EBITDA? And it turns out it was $4,000 a pound. And I was like, that's nutty. It is extremely rare anyone's going to sustain $4,000 a pound in any state. And so if someone didn't ask that question, $10 million, they might have thought that's a great deal. Pre-revenue does not mean pre-expense. So don't let a client say, hey, I'm not making revenues yet. I'm not going to pay you as accountant. Say, oh, so like this reminds me of my first farm client in 2016 out. Yeah, they were pre-revenue for 2 years. We were paying the plumbing vendors and the electrician vendors literally 10 to 15 grand a month for like 18 straight months. Did the plumbers and electricians work for free? Heck no. The attorneys? No. Don't let that be you either. Again, we want to do great accounting. The bar is very low in this industry. If we can just do our basic great accounting, support docs, good month-end system. We build a permanent audit trail for every client every month because they need it. That will also verify all of our cost accounting that we'll do at the farm. So when the auditor shows up and they say, I want to see March 2021, no problem. Got it right here. We'll show you our accounts. We'll show you all our non-financial data. We'll show you our cost accounting data, our trial balance, how it rolls into the financials, tick marked and tied out. And our clients will love us when we get to there. Work in process, making sure that is done right as well. And we want to make sure even if they're pre-revenue, like say they do a big planting in the fall of 2023, we want to get a lot of cost into those plants, even if they're not ready to sell, because when they do sell in 2024, we will have a good cost of goods sold number as well. Also, our accruals and AJEs, document them, have backup as well. This is a snippet. So our month-end permanent audit trail would have 30 tabs. Each one will be tick marked and tied up backwards and forwards, back to the trial balance, back to support schedules and forward into the reports as well. Let me see. I'm getting more questions. Let me just hit those. We're packaging bulk as a distributor and white labeling. So yeah, for the distributor side, so your cost of product, if you buy a bag. Let's say it's not a box. It's a bag of gummy bears from the gummy bear maker. You've now got inventory and your cost is whatever they charged you. And then if you add more cost into that, where you have to add in your labels and packaging, I think you could allocate part of that in as well. Packaging's not cost of goods sold. Packaging's part of inventory. When that inventory sold, it becomes cost of goods sold. Are we able to take depreciation? So if you go back to the earlier slide, 47111-3, if you're doing gap level cost accounting at the manufacturer, at the farm, at the processing plant, you're doing that gap level cost accounting, depreciation is allowed. Not cost of goods sold. It's allowed to be put into inventory. But only if you're doing those things correctly. And then, again, that's not the dispensary. That's 47111 manufacturers and growers. Also reporting, we want to have more than just a balance sheet and P&L. Definitely statement of cash flows and a rolling cash forecast. We budget versus actuals, inventory analysis, dashboards, definitely benchmarking. Let's do a good report package for our clients. If you're going to go into this industry, you're going to need lots of tools. That's where we'll transfer into talking about the Dope CFO program. That's where we're a huge shortcut. We are not just education. We do a lot of education. Some of it's free like this. Much of it, we have 90 hours education in our program that's not free. And then we have many, many tools and work papers pre-built from controls documents, engagement letters, cost accounting tools, chart of accounts, et cetera. We don't share the slides, but I believe, Tyson, you can answer that. I think we share the webinar link so you can rewatch. But on 47111, you can just Google it right now on your computer and read the whole thing from A to Z, and it will answer those. Okay, let's jump in the last 15 minutes. I'll go through the Dope CFO program. It's all cloud-based. If you buy, it's yours for life. That 5.0 is a little deceptive. I would say we're on 6 or 7.0 at this point. I think I'm in year 7. It gets better every single year via updates to the education, updates to the tools and work papers, and then new work papers and tools added every single year. I've added this slide in or two because I found, I really knew this already, It doesn't matter what I give somebody or sell to somebody. If you don't have what certain characteristics of who you are, I don't care what I give you, you're not going to be successful. And I don't care if I'm selling a weight loss system or a marketing system or cannabis accounting system. You have to do things too. I can't do it for you. Are you professional? If you're responsive and reliable, that will go so far in this industry. Most of the big firms and regional firms are simply overwhelmed. They do not have the staffing level. Baby boomers are aging out or quitting. Not enough new CPAs are coming into the industry. And so they have too much work with too few staff. And so it's hard for them to be responsive. So if you can do that, it'll go a long way. I've found many, many, many accountants are not organized and meticulous, which is crazy. If you are not organized and meticulous, you should take training to become organized and meticulous. It's absolutely key if you're going to be in this industry. Time management. Down here at the bottom, most, this is the same as if you ask people, are you an above average driver? I think 90% of us say yes. Same deal. Are you above average accountant or bookkeeper? Most of us would say yes, but it's simply not the case. I get this question a lot when you look at education. What's something cost? Much better question on any education, whether you're going back to get your CPA in college or taking a program or education or buying a book or podcast, what's the ROI and payback? That's what I want to know. If I'm doing education, I've been doing it for 30 years now, I will continue. I'm almost 60 till the day I retire, which is maybe 70. I'll do it forever. And I always want an ROI, even if I'm reading a book, or even I've spent tens and tens of thousands of dollars on programs and education, but I want an ROI as well. And also another question is, people just want to follow a website. That's not the best way to start in a niche. If you've actually pitched this niche, the second question you should be asking yourself, how quickly, and even if you pick another niche, like say you want to do dental accounting or realtors or whatever, the question, because I did that as well before cannabis, the question should be, how quickly can I become an absolute expert in this niche? How can I get the tools, the education, the community, the vendors, et cetera, as well? Is packaging bulk flower, inventory, making grams out of bulk in a white label package? I'm not going to give tax advice on this program. This is just high level education. If I would go to your tax person, if you're not a tax person, this is the kind of stuff we will debate in our program, and I'd have to dig in much deeper into your company and where you're located, but I can't give specific client information on this webinar. The dope zone is what we call this. If you're going on your own as a bookkeeper, CPA, CFO, whatever, I would rather you not pitch to clients as a freelancer. We all have the same challenge, whether we're a plumber or an accountant. We need to find great clients and we need to provide them amazing service. The secret sauce is becoming a VIP. That's where we are an expert in all things, valuable expert, instructor, and we actually participate in the niche. If we do that right, we'll find clients easier. And once we find the clients, we'll provide more value, meaning we'll earn more fees. And if we really do VIP right, by year two or three, find great clients, it flips. Great clients find you, and you're done with marketing forever. And by the way, all you all tell me you hate marketing. So becoming a VIP is really, really crucial on that side. We have many testimonials on our website. I've also got a podcast on YouTube or Spotify. I've done over 100 episodes over the last 5 years. 90% of them are with my students. So you can just hear my students talk to me for an hour about their business and how it's growing if you want to do that as well. Our program has every last, I could say that at this point, there is, if it's not in our program and you're serving this niche, I challenge you to find it. In the early years, people would find stuff Andrew, what about this? Do you have that? And we would just keep building. And we do still keep building. I think we added 10 work papers last year, but it's definitely slowed down because we have so much. We've got the education. We've got a proven marketing system. It works. And hint on that too. Step one is simply participate in this niche. I don't care what state you're in, whether it's illegal or legal or partially legal, you can get involved. There are organizations, there's events, there's all kinds of stuff. You will meet tons of owners. Complete toolbox. We've built it. It has been perfected now by over 500 in our community. Our community, by the way, leads the U.S. I can say that with confidence. Nobody competes with us. I teach for the AICPA. The planning committee is built with me and most senior partners at huge national firms. They tell me themselves they won't touch us maybe for a decade. They might have 10 people in their cannabis division, maybe 20. We have 500 attorneys, CPAs, enrolled agents, bookkeepers, every state, every skill set. We simply lead the U.S. And that adds a ton of value when you're out there talking to your prospects. Say, hey, I'm a member of the Dope CFO VIP network. Believe me, they've heard of Dope CFO. That will give you instant credibility. Not to mention, we share knowledge 7 days a week. We have live calls every week. You can always get your questions answered, whether it's in the group or on the calls. And then people share work with each other left and right in our community, which I just talked about, tapped into team of experts. This was 2 or 3 years ago at the AICPA conference in Vegas. And three or four of us actually spoke on stage. I brought up members of our community, even though it's not part of what people buy. I did a recent thing in my group. I think there was 15 things that I don't sell to you all that's not part of our program, but I provided anyway. Dinners, happy hours. I've gotten people on stages. Over the years, I've gotten at least 100 people a client. Don't buy my program because you think I'm going to give you a client, but I've done it many, many times and many other things as well. So we believe we role model what we're doing, what we want you to do with a client, which is deliver top shelf product with white glove service. We do that in Dope CFO. We deliver a world-class product. It is the Lamborghini of this space, and we deliver it with white glove service. I'm extremely present in my program, and nobody else does that. Like my favorite quote, Daniel Webster, there's always room at the top. That's what we deliver. It's what I want you to deliver as well. These are more testimonials. Probably this is your bigger question. What's it worth and what's it cost? What's it worth? I can argue with you all day long, different prices. The program started not because I wanted to sell you anything. 6 years ago, I started getting calls from CPAs and accountants that would find me and say, hey, Andrew, I want to buy your chart of accounts. I heard you had one, or I heard you had a PBC list. Can I buy it? And I started selling single work papers for thousands of dollars. I was like, look, I've got 5 to 10 hours in this work paper. My hourly rate's $300 an hour. If you want to pay me $2,000 for an Excel file. And people actually did that. As crazy as that sounds, that's how Dope CFO got started. I never launched anything. It just started where we are today. There's over 100 work papers. I'm selling those work papers at less than $100 a work paper now instead of thousands of dollars. So even if you paid me $100,000, the program, in my opinion, is a steal. Those have been built over 10 years. We also have that community I talked about and live calls. The price, in my opinion, is worth six figures. I know if you buy the program, you can get a six-figure client and make the money back in 1 year. Now, am I going to charge you six figures? No, not even close. I sell the full price of the program at $20,000. Our community is free for 30 days. If you want to stay after 30 days, it's like having a firm in your back pocket. I basically charge it at less than $5 a day. To have access to all the benefits in that at that point. Now, if you join our program, you book a call with me, I'm going to make sure you're qualified. You're a one-person firm and a real accountant. I want you to be able to add value to our community. And if I don't feel you're going to add value, I won't let you in. We turn many people away. We will offer you the program at $7,000 if you buy within a week. That saves me a ton of marketing dollars to chase you all over for 2 years until you decide yes or no. I would much rather have a no at day seven than to have an undecided at day seven. So if you're ready and this is what you want, we're going to give you an absolute steal of a price. That price compared to where I sold a single work paper 6 years ago, it's kind of nutty. The program's literally 1,000 times more valuable than those first two or three people that bought from me, but the price is almost barely double. Now that said, those people have benefited because it was lifetime. They haven't paid me more money. The program's just gotten better. Opportunity cost, if you want to do what I did and go beat your head against the wall for 3, 4, 5 years, that's going to cost you a lot of money, even if you could do it. I have a pretty beefy resume. I've won CPA awards, the highest score in the state of Oklahoma on the CPA exam. I've won CFO awards. I've led $100 million companies as CFO. I've started companies. I have a very big resume. It still took me years and years to build this thing out. If you remain in our VIP community for 90 days, you will get a green badge. If you stay in 1 year, you'll get the black badge. You can put that. It's actually a real digital badge via Accredible. .com. You can link that to your LinkedIn, your website, your email, and it adds real prestige as well to that. There's tons of benefits in what we call that VIP community. It's not a national firm, but it sure feels like it. We discuss things, every topic under the sun, every single day of the year, people all over the U.S., attorneys, CPAs, bookkeepers, could be QuickBooks, insurance, banking, tax codes, court cases. We're talking about it. We have live calls every single week. We're talking about pricing, finding clients. People are sharing work. People are going to events together. It's a very robust community. There's Ken. Very nice words from Ken. He is doing great. And his program, Damon, who's been in cannabis even longer than me in my home state of Oregon, he was actually teaching cannabis accounting, and he still bought and joined our program and was very happy to do so. Payback is one other method outside of ROI. So here's the deal. If you pay me $7,000, how can you get that money back? It's going to take one client. Hopefully month one retainer, you're going to get low end $3,000 a month, high end 10 to 20 grand retainer. So we've had many people 3 or 4x their money back simply with the retainer on the first client. If you hold one cannabis client for a year, you should 10, 20, 30x the money you pay me. And if you can't get a client in this industry with our system and community and tools, you are doing something drastically wrong. And I will tell you myself, I will say, I better see you on our Tuesday marketing calls because we're going to figure out what you're doing wrong. If I have not had someone come to me with that complaint in 2 years, and that guy, Colin, was a CPA and an attorney both, and told me he couldn't get a client. And I got him on our Tuesday calls. He got a client. He hadn't bugged me since. but I'm not going to fall for that one. If you can't do it with our system and tools, it's something on you and not us. And we'll work to figure out what it is. We also now have a franchise that we've just launched where people who are in our program can apply. Once you're in the core program, you can apply to become a certified dope CFO advisor and actually market under our brand. If you just buy our core brand, like say Chip, he's in our community, his company's Greenleaf, someone else's Accounting Buds. You have your own brand and you're marketing and building your own brand with our tools and community. The franchise is another level where you get access to my corporate team. You get, we're a deeper dive training. We're actually putting you through a 12-week training to get certified. And then you're representing the brand. So we're making darn sure you're doing what we teach in the program. Now, if that's not you, you're more individualistic. Our core program is better. You can do whatever you want with my tools, including not use any of it. but if you're going to represent my brand, it's kind of like I say with McDonald's, if you want to open your own hamburger stand and we give you training, that's great. But if you open McDonald's, you're going to make the French fries their way, not your way. Just another picture, another testimonial. Chip, my firm wouldn't be where it is. I love hearing this from Chip again. He's a really high level Big Four audit partner, very successful career, and came in and followed, just pretended he was a beginner and did everything we said, and he's absolutely crushing it. Okay, I'm done. There, Tyson, can you put this link? I got 2 minutes left. Does anyone else have any other questions on the program or anything else? And if not, there's a link where you can find more about us. You can always go to dopecfo.com. You can find me, Andrew, at dopecfo.com as well. I'm going to stop share if you're... Tyson's putting out the link in there. Well, anyone, I want to thank everybody for showing up today. We do a news roundup at the end of every month on our Facebook page. Payment options, we don't do a payment plan, and I'll tell you why. On day one, if you join, you can get those 100 tools and work papers. And we learned the hard way that some people would actually download that stuff and leave without paying us. I can refer you to lenders like PayPal or others that will lend on education programs. But if you quit paying them, they'll chase you down and not me. But I am not dealing in receivables anymore. And I actually teach that in the program as well. When you get clients, I want you getting a retainer on day one, just like attorneys do. I do not want you dealing with receivables. You simply don't have time. It adds no value to your business. And we're the same way as well. So, but good point on that. If you're not ready for the discount, don't book a call with me, because that window is going to happen one time forever and we will track you. The discount comes one time after the call and that's it. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Hope to see more of you in the program, and we will see you next time. You've been listening to the Dope CFO Cannabis Accounting Podcast. Every other Monday, we air tips and insights on cannabis and CBD hemp accounting. Make sure you subscribe today and also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. We're pretty much everywhere for more advice, tips, industry news as well. To find out more about our cannabis and CBD accounting program, visit dopecfo.com, and don't forget to be dope.